thing off and throw it down. I am so excited to be with y'all. As Brother BJ mentioned earlier, I'm got a little tweak to my voice. But if y'all can stand it, I can too, all right? We're gonna be all right. This hadn't caught God by surprise. There's nothing that catches him by surprise. This meeting here this evening has not caught him by surprise. He is the author and finisher of everything. And so God already knew this meeting was going to happen a long time ago. He knew I was going to get the honor and the privilege to stand here and share with you good people. And God knows what's about to happen. Satan don't like it. How many of you have the devil running at you here lately? Pretty much everybody in here. Boy, he's good at what he does, isn't he? My goodness, we've been in a battle with Satan with my wife for 2 years. I mean, he has come after her. You know, I could take it a whole lot better if it was on me, Brother BJ. I really could. But it's hard to watch your spouse suffer, isn't it? It's hard. But you know what? That didn't catch God by surprise either. God knows. But you know, I've got to watch God do some amazing things through this thing. And I guess the most amazing thing is watching my wife. Whew. Boy, if I had the faith of that woman, my goodness. Lay up in the hospital bed. She's been in the hospital probably 5 or 6 times in the past year. Lay up in that hospital bed, sick as she can be, hurting. And everybody come in that room. You know my Jesus? Let me tell you how good he has been to me. Her laying there so sick, she's about to die. God's used her. I've seen some amazing stuff take place, y'all, and that's not what I'm preaching on tonight. But God, if tonight the old devil is just about to beat you to death, I want you to know you are not alone. Not only am I in it with you, but we are not walking alone, because God said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." He said, "I know where you are. I know your name. I know every hair on your head. I know everything about you. Nothing is surprising me." The Lord Jesus sent his disciples into a storm, did he not? He said, "Y'all go ahead and cross over. I'm going to go over here for a while. I'll catch up in a little bit." He sent them into the storm. But then what did he do? He come walking on their storm. He was showing them that he was greater than anything they would come up against. Y'all, I'm not. Let me ask you something. Why'd you come here tonight? Did you come because that's what you're supposed to do? Did you come to see everybody? Did you come to take a look at me? If you did, I feel sorry for you, because I ain't nothing to look at. Well, why are you here? If you're here for any other reason other than to meet with the Lord, you're wrong. Because, y'all, this ain't about anything else other than him. We're kicking off a revival, right? Can I change the name of that? How about let's kick off a great awakening? This country's in trouble. This country's in a mess. And it's going to start somewhere. Why not here? We need a great awakening. We need a great happening. We need something so powerful to take place that the world will stand up and notice, hey, there's something real to that. There's something going on. But y'all, it's up to us. Now, when you start praying for this kind of stuff, you better look out. Don't you think that the devil's happy about this? He's going to come after you. But greater is he who is within you than he that's in the world. I don't know about y'all, but y'all got me wound up tighter than a banjo string. So if I take a lap, somebody just trip me up and I'll come back, all right? And that ain't even what I'm preaching either. God's just all over me. I can't hardly stand it. Sweet spirit in this place. Mark chapter 5. Turn with me. Mark chapter 5. I don't know if y'all know Brother Steve Sellers or not. He's a good friend of mine. He worked with Alabama Baptist Children's Home and Family Ministries for many years. He's just recently retired. But I was listening to him preach one time, and he made this statement. He said, what do you do when there's a pandemic? You preach Jesus. What do you do when there's turmoil in the streets? You preach Christ alone. Then he said this, only his wonderful grace can change the heart and create a new creation. Only Jesus, y'all. Only Jesus. We have good friends. We have family. We have acquaintances. We have everything else in the world. But the only thing that can make a difference in any one of our lives is Jesus. He's it. Let's read Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? And I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Pause with me a moment and let's go to the Lord and ask Him to bless the reading of this word. Father God, it's always as humble as I know how that I bow into Your presence. I want to thank You, Father, for the way that You love us. God, I've never been worthy of anything You've ever done for me. But, oh Lord, when You touch my heart as a little boy and You save my soul, and then, God, You put up with me in all of the mess that I allowed myself to get into, and then You drew me back close to You, Father, and You called me to preach Your wonderful truths. Lord, I'm still amazed that You allow me to do this. Father, I thank You for Your holy word. the second greatest gift you gave to us, Lord, second only to the Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you tell us that you will teach us through this word and bring all things to our remembrance through the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you that you tell us that when we gather together that you meet with us. So I praise you, God, that you are here this evening. And God, I praise you and I thank you that none of this is about any one of us. It's all about you, Lord. I praise you and I thank you, Father, for what you've already done in this service. And Lord God, I praise you and I thank you for what you're about to do. Lord, I just ask you to not let us leave from here the same as we were when we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Start off with a little question. I like to do that. Oh, and by the way, those of you who have heard me preach, I like to joke a lot, and I like to clown, and I usually, right here, Brother BJ, I'd start off with something funny or something, but I just didn't lay that on my heart tonight. Tonight's different. I think this is real, and folks are dealing with real stuff. And it's time we get down to real business. Let me ask you, if you could bring every broken part of you to Jesus tonight for healing, what would you bring to him? This is what we see people doing in the stories that we read here in chapter 5 of Mark. Jesus is the one who receives broken hearts and broken dreams and broken lives. He's the only one who can bring healing and peace and grace to a life. You know, we got all kind of good things in this world today. I'm not bad-mouthing counseling or anything else tonight. Hear me on this, because there are some good services out there that are offered, good Christian services to help people when they get into difficult situations. But all I'm telling you, folks, is that if you don't have Jesus, you can go everywhere in this world that you want to, and you're not going to find what you're going to find when you get into this. You're not going to find peace. You're not going to find help. You're not going to find hope. You're not going to find grace or anything else unless Jesus is in the middle of it. He's the one who receives broken hearts and broken dreams and broken lives. He's the only one that can bring healing and peace and grace. Today, in a world that's just absolutely gone crazy, I simply want to affirm to all of us tonight. This is I'm a simple-minded guy, so this is a very simple message, okay? I just want to affirm to everybody tonight that Jesus is our amazing Savior. Every human being needs to be saved. I always want to start with that after I brag on Jesus a little bit. Listen, I don't have to preach tonight because it's not about the words that I'm going to get up here and say. What we must know is that every person within the sound of my voice tonight knows Jesus. That's why we're here. We're here hoping to encourage you to come to know the one that changed our world and our life forever. So tonight, if you're lost without Christ, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. I want you to know that your sin is not too great, that Jesus can't forgive it. I want you to know that Jesus will love you from today on for the rest of your life. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll forgive you when you mess up. He'll put His arms around you and lead you right back to the path that you're supposed to be on. That's the kind of Jesus that saved my soul. And I want you to know that He'll save you tonight. Now, if you're lost without Christ, I want you to know that you don't have to wait on me to quit running my mouth. I want you to know that Jesus stands ready to save right now. Didn't the Bible say that now is the accepted time? Right now, this moment in time, this is the accepted time. If you know that you know that you know that you've never... Notice I didn't ask you if you've ever been baptized or if you've ever joined a church. Because those are important things that we do once we get saved. But I'm telling you tonight, listen to me. Without Jesus, you can get baptized in every baptistry, lake, pond, creek, whatever, from here to California. You can join every church from here to there, and you're still going to bust hell wide open. Because it's not about a church. It's about joining Jesus. Will you be saved tonight? God's Holy Spirit going to speak to your heart. You're going to feel conviction tonight. That's what you're feeling. That's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, don't you want me? But you know what's cool? God's, He's a gentleman. He won't force Himself on anybody. He just says, here I am. Do you want me? If you do, come get all of me that you want. Jesus stands ready for you. Will you be saved tonight? That's the most important thing that's going to happen in this building. Hey, if one person gets saved, folks, God, it's a victory. It's a victory. Listen. Every human being needs saving. All of us are sinners. We're imperfect. We're just human. With a sin nature. In our text, we have described for us basically a sense of terror and destruction. But I want all of us to see that even in the midst of terror and destruction, Jesus is still an amazing Savior. First of all, Jesus is our Savior from the evil of this world. This man was suffering from a powerful demon or several demons living in him. And you know, y'all, it's real easy to think of demon possession as something that happened way back in the first century, isn't it? Couldn't possibly happen today, could it? Listen to me, you can't ever discount the work of Satan. Satan is very active in our world today. And let me tell you how that the Bible describes him. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it tells us, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now you think the devil don't want to eat you up? You have lost your mind. Folks, I want to tell you something. God even told us, you be vigilant. You stay alert. Men, be alert, because Satan wants to tear your house apart. He wants to rip up your home. Wives, be vigilant. Be ready. Be sober. Think about what's going on around you, because Satan wants nothing more than to rip up your household. He wants to eat up your children with all the drugs and all the mess that's going on in our world today. He wants to tear your life. Now, why does he want to rip up the home? Well, what's the church made up of? A bunch of homes. If he can rip up the homes, he can rip up the church. If he can rip up the church, then he thinks he can put the light out in the world. If he can put the light out in the world, he can carry more folks to hell with him. So Satan wants to rip up your house to carry more people to hell. That's what he wants. He's going around and saying, where can I dig? How can I find a little crack into that church? Is it this home? Is it this individual? Maybe this one's carrying some unforgiveness around. Can I use that to dig into that home and that family and then dig into that church? Or maybe this one's carrying some anger around. Can I roar at that a little bit and see if I can flame that up and get it into the body and tear the body up? Be sober, be vigilant. Keep a clear mind and watch. And nobody is immune, just like COVID. Nobody's immune to this stuff, y'all. You think that the devil can't tear up your life or your home? You better look out, because that's the moment he's coming. And he wants to devour. He don't want your home happy. He don't want this to be a peaceful church. He don't want there to be a great fellowship here among this people. He don't want lives to be changed and souls to come to Jesus, because there's such a bright light shining out of this church that folks want to come and say, hey, I got to have some of that. He don't want that. He wants you miserable. He wants you angry. He wants you bitter. He wants you mad at God. Ever been mad at God? The old devil will take that and he'll use it. He'll twist it and he'll make it something ugly. The devil wants to tear you up. Don't you ever forget that. Satan's active in the world today. But Jesus was able to resist Satan. When tempted and when he died, my Bible tells me that he crushed Satan. We are victorious not because of ourselves. We are victorious because of Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Listen to this. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you notice he said, you have overcome? Didn't say you might overcome, did he? Didn't say that maybe you'll overcome. It says you have overcome them. Because greater, and it's not because we're all wonderful people, by the way. Not because we're strong. I'm a preacher. I can't fall for anything. Oh, I'm going to use a good Greek word here, baloney. Y'all, it's not because of how strong or great we become. It's none of that. It's all because he overcame for us. That's where the victory lies. It's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. I couldn't do anything. I didn't do anything. There's not a thing in the world that I could do to ever earn it or gain it. It all comes from him. All I can do is, as I hear my daddy pray sometimes, all I can do is just bow my unworthy head and say, thank you, Lord. There's not a thing in the world I can do about it. If you're struggling with evil thoughts or activities or troubles in your life, join the crowd. You think you can't overcome? That's where you're wrong. Because my Bible just told me, with God all things are possible. Jesus is the amazing Savior from the evil of this world. Number two, Jesus is our amazing Savior from the pain of this life. This man endured a lot of physical and emotional pain, didn't he? There are so many signals that our world lives in great pain today, right? Self-destructive lifestyles and habits. Bunch of us have been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. We understand that, self-destructive lifestyle stuff. Amazing God chose to use us anyway, huh, guys? Just amazing. Still amazes me to this day that God chose to use me. Golly. I could have a fit right now, but I'm not going to. Self-destructive habits, lifestyles, suicides on the rise, people getting murdered, crimes committed, so much hatred going on in the world. That's one of the biggest problems we have. Folks just hating one another and for no reason. Because somebody looks a little different or acts a little different or whatever. I mean, how silly would it be? Y'all know me? Do y'all know me? I don't know y'all either. But this is the silliness of it. I'm on side right now that I just hate y'all. And I'm going to do everything in my power to tear your world apart. That's kind of where we're living in. And you say, I don't hate y'all, by the way. I love you and I don't know you. Let me clarify. That could get dangerous real quick. Y'all good-looking folks. So much hatred, though. And folks, I want to tell you something. You kind of expect it from the lost world, don't you? I ain't even going to repeat you. But I fear we're seeing it. I fear that we're seeing it. I fear that we're seeing people. The devil's winning. We see all this stuff that's going on around us and we get angry at it. And the next thing we know, he's planted a little seed of hatred in our heart because it's made us mad. The Lord told us, be angry but sin not. It's all right to be angry about the injustices and the things that are going on around us that we disagree with. It's okay to get angry about that. Jesus got mad. He whooped some folks plumb out of the temple one day, didn't he? I'd like to take a whip sometimes myself. But we cannot allow that anger to sow a seed of hatred in our heart to the point that we don't love people the way that we're supposed to love them. Too much hatred. Way too much. A lot of emotional pain in the world today. Anybody ever been lonely? Sometimes you can feel all alone in a crowd, can't you? Life way down on you. You get your heart broke. You get stressed and worried over things that are happening. It can tear you down. It can make you lonely. And you feel like you're all alone. We know better. We know better as Christians. We know we're not alone. But sometimes it just feels that way, don't it? It gets lonely. Emotional pain of disappointment or regret. Or even separation from people that we love. One of the hardest days of my life was the day that I stood and had to preach my mom's funeral. Now, don't get me wrong. I glory in the fact that my mama is in heaven, okay? I glory in that. But I miss my mama, okay? We understand that, don't we? We don't ever get over missing our mama, do we? as there things come that hurt. Family pain, trauma, abuse, debt, doubt. So many so deeply scarred. And most people, when they get that deeply scarred, they just feel like they're beyond help. But that's not so. That's another one of those lies from that old roaring lion trying to devour. Trying to devour. He may not can do a thing in the world about your soul, Christian, but he might can do everything about your witness and your testimony by devouring up pieces of yourself, pieces of your life. It's not so. Jesus, who calmed stormy seas, can also calm stormy souls. So if your soul is stormy tonight, if you're going through some of these things that I'm preaching about, I want you to know that I can't help you. But I know the one who can. And his name is Jesus. And if you'll come and just fall before him and say, Lord, I can't take this anymore. Lord, I've dealt with this. Lord, I'm laying it at your feet. I'm trusting you, Father. I want you to take this burden up off of me. God, help me. God, help me. You know what he'll do? He'll do it. He'll do it. All right, let me move on. We'll be here all night. Next, Jesus is our Savior from the destruction of sin. I started with this. It's going to be in the middle of the sermon, and I'm going to end with it, all right? Jesus' main mission was to bring spiritual healing to lost humanity. I realize that we pray and ask God for physical healing, and that's good. Hey, I've been praying for my wife for 2 years for God to heal her body. God wants us to. He wants us to, but always remember, too, that there are some that God heals and there's some that God doesn't heal in this life. Always remember that. But Jesus did heal physically, but his main mission was to bring spiritual healing to lost humanity. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him. I praise God tonight, I'm a whosoever. I am not worthy of what he did for me. I have never been worthy, and I will never become worthy of what he did for me. But I praise God tonight that he said, Keith, you're a whosoever. That just tickles me to death when I think about it. This is the message that we preach to a sin-sick, lost world. You don't give them some pattern or some way that they can become a better person, Brother BJ. You don't give them, Brother Keith, a way for them to change their life. You give them Jesus, and then Jesus takes care of all of that. Jesus moves in and he makes us a better person. He moves in and he makes it a better life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him. He's it. There are not many paths, and there's only one door. I know the world tells us that all paths lead to God. That's what Oprah and all them want you to believe, is that it doesn't matter what the name is on the religion, that all of them are going to the same God. That's not true, because my Bible tells me that there is no other name that we can be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus. He's it. He's it. Anything else is a cult. It's a false religion, and it's going to carry people to hell. Muhammad wasn't there to speak to this demon-possessed man. Them statue gods of that day wasn't there to speak to this man. Gandhi or any Confucius, any of those people, Joseph Smith, none of those people were there to speak to this man. It was just Jesus, wasn't it? It was just Jesus. Jesus spoke to this demon-possessed man, and he made him whole. And that's what he does for us. Number four, Jesus is our amazing Savior from a life without purpose. Look at here in Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. When Jesus truly brings healing and salvation to us, that's a picture of what's supposed to happen. We should want to become witnesses for Him every day of our life. This man that Jesus healed wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, No, I got a different plan for you, son. He said, I want you to go to Decapolis, the 10 cities, and I want you to tell all of them about me and what I've done for you. And when the people saw him, this man who once was demon possessed, and he was evil, and he was naked, and he was screaming in the cemetery, when they saw him, they were all amazed. When Jesus came back around that way, do y'all remember reading stories about Jesus feeding some folks with some fish and bread? Where do you think them folks come from? They came out of them 10 cities where that man had been preaching Jesus. That's how they knew about him. Because this man went out and said, Hey, let me tell you about a man that cast a legion of demons out of me and saved my soul. Jesus is amazing, y'all. For those of us who have experienced the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, it ought to be a joy to tell everybody what He's done for us. Have you experienced the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Do you know that you know that you know that you are a child of God? If you are, then you ought to shout about it. If you are, then you ought to be the boldest person in this area to say, Hey, let me tell you about the demons that Jesus cast out of my life and saved my soul. Jesus is an amazing Savior. Well, this well-known, highly feared demoniac was healed, and everybody rejoiced, didn't they? Nope. Look back up to verse 14. Look at this. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And listen to this. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. What was great news for him became disruptive for some other people. The owners of those hogs and some other people, pretty sure they probably feared change. They begged Jesus to leave. Some folks just don't get it. Some folks can't see it. He had so much to offer them, but they were focused more on their own lives than what Jesus could do for them. Today, Jesus is our amazing teacher, friend, and Savior. Are you begging Him to stay? Or are you begging Him to leave? Why? Whenever Jesus is mentioned, or is at work, some folks just want Him to leave. I call it the cold water committee in most Baptist churches. Every time things gets hot, somebody's ready. They're there ready to dump a cold bucket of ice water on it. If you're on that committee, you need to get saved. You lost church member and you need to get saved. Hey, I've witnessed it. Hey, I've pastored churches for years. I've witnessed it. I've had the cold water thrown on me from some of them. Where'd that come from? Somebody need to hear it. A lot of folks, whenever Jesus is mentioned or is at work, some people just want Him to leave. Now, why do they want that? I'll tell you why. Once again, we don't like change. And Jesus will change your life. But not only that, He'll expose our wickedness. 2 Chronicles, this is a familiar one for everybody, okay? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Folks, there's one thing that I read from that verse. God's not waiting on lost folks to bless a country. Who's He waiting on? He's waiting on the church. He said, if my people. You see, in order for this great awakening to take place, God's people got to get right. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. In other words, He's saying, if you'll come before me, I'll show you where you're wrong. And we'll get it right. And then I can bless you. See, I kind of picture God. He's standing there with this great big old picture of blessings. And He's just waiting to pour it out on my head. But sometimes I'm only getting a drop. Because of my wicked ways that I don't want to confess to Him because I like them and I want to keep them around. But when I'll fall on my face broken and crying and weeping and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, then at that moment, God can dump out the double portion. But He's not going to do it as long as I'm holding on to my old pet garbage. You want a great awakening? This is how God's telling us it's going to happen. And it's not going to happen any other way. We can't create it. We can't make it. It's through humility and prayer and confessing sin and getting right. When that happens, God will turn a place upside down. Hey, He took 12 men and turned the world upside down, didn't He? Why can't He take Union Chapel and turn the world upside down? Why not? Why can't He take Marion County and Lamar County and say, hey, have y'all seen what's going on over there? I hear about revival breakouts all the time. Heard there's one in North Carolina. Why just them? Could it be us? I've had to face that, y'all. I'm not preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to me. I've had to face that. Is it me? Am I the reason that revival is not just tearing this place up? Jesus will cost us something. That's why a lot, see, them fellas that own that herd of swine, all that they could see is the thousands of dollars they just lost. That's all they could see. They couldn't see a life delivered and changed forever. They couldn't see that that man just a few moments before was running naked through the cemetery screaming his head out, a wild man that nobody could tame, nobody could tie him up, nobody could do anything with him. He's just, we would call him, we'd say, that sucker's nuts. Well, he was. He'd been driven crazy by demons from Satan. He was nuts. But all it took was one word from the master. But those guys didn't like it because it cost them. All they could see was their livelihood. Hey, there's lots of folks that serve in the so-called Christian church that like to fly jets and stuff like that. That only reason they're doing it is because it's padding their pocket. When you got a preacher that stands in the pulpit and claims that he's preaching the gospel, but says that he'd never preach on hell because he's not going to be negative, and well, I'm not going there. But anyway, y'all get the gist. But on the other side of that, the Bible does tell us that the church is responsible to take care of their pastor. Amen. So, thank y'all for taking care of him and his family. Continue to do so and he'll be a blessing to you. All right. Jesus will cost us something. There is no way in the world to stay the same if Jesus is in your heart. You can't. It's just not possible. The decision is yours tonight. Once again, Jesus is a gentleman. He'll never force himself. Remember that. The decision is yours. You can submit to the Lord tonight, or you can say nope and send him away. No amount of begging that myself or Brother BJ or anybody else does is going to have any impact or any difference on what goes on with you, because it's a personal relationship between you and him. The decision is yours. I'm going to end with the question I began with, okay? Because I'm not going to hold y'all any longer. I'm having too much fun here. Yeah. I'm going to end with the question that I started with. If you could bring every broken part of you to Jesus today for healing, what would you bring? Will you be bringing a lost soul for Jesus to save tonight? Will you be bringing a broken heart for Jesus to mend tonight? Will you be bringing a broken ministry for Jesus to put back together tonight? Will you be bringing a broken life for the Lord to do for you what he did for Legion? Maybe you're going to bring a broken body, I don't know. Satan is still Satan. And he's still evil, amen. But Jesus is still Jesus. And Jesus is still on his throne. And Jesus can still conquer evil. And he can still make us more than conquerors. Now the big question is, will you come to him? Are you going to send him away? And that, church, is up to you. I believe wholeheartedly God's got something special going on right here. But whether it becomes what God wants it to become, over the course of these next few weeks lies directly in our lap. Now, I don't know who all this was for other than me. And I don't know what you're going to do with it. But God's telling me to pray and shut up. So that's what I'm about to do. So Brother BJ, after I pray, I'm going to come right over there and I'm going to just pray. The invitation is yours, brother. That's what God's telling me to do. Church, I don't know where this is going, but God already does. So it's in your hands. Choose wisely what you do with Jesus this evening. Father God, I thank you. Thank you, thank you. Lord, I love you. And God, you brought me here to preach a word. Lord, I've done my best to preach what you want me to preach and say what you want me to say. Now, Father, if I failed you in any way, I ask you to forgive me because you wanted this message to be clear. Oh, God, if there's one lost, save them this evening. God, we need you, Lord. In so many ways that I can't mention, we need you. So for this invitation, Father, I'll close this prayer by asking you, would you help us, Lord? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.